This is the Armed Subject Matter Expert podcast, hosted by Justin Poulin. Tune in every month as we speak with industry experts to highlight success stories and solutions from the field that advance the healthcare supply chain. And now, Justin Poulin with this month's expert.
Welcome to the ARM 24 podcast, recording live throughout the conference here in Columbus, Ohio. I'm your host, Justin Poulin. Joining me today is Kenny Scher, Vice President of End-to-End Supply Chain at Nexera Inc. And Kenny, I know you just got to the conference.
Just got here.
So here we are on Tuesday. You're presenting tomorrow morning. Maybe start with, what's your presentation on tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. So number one, really excited to be here. You know, this is always a great conference. Pre-COVID, I was here literally every year, and this is my first one back, so I'm really excited to be here, see everybody. I'm excited about our presentation. Obviously, a lot has changed in the past, you know, 4.5 years, and my topic is on one of those big changes. I'm presenting with Phil Smith, who's the Executive Director of Supply Chain at St. Francis Health System in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty large organization, and like other large organizations, they've reevaluated their supply chain strategy over the past 4 years and made the decision to move their supply chain operation to an offsite warehouse. So we're presenting on how Nexera supported the organization in the selection of the warehouse, planning, build out, transition, go live, as well as how we took their existing space, gave it back to the organization. It was about 8,000 square feet on one floor that they're now using for clinical space, revenue generating, and how they've used some of that space for a stat store room as well. So exciting, like very of the times, and the organization's doing some pretty great things. So excited to talk through that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I also, the other thing that occurred to me is just transportation logistics is obviously, you know, changes in that scenario. Is this an area you're the most kind of passionate about, or are there other things that really drive you? I definitely would love to see that presentation tomorrow, because I think a lot of people are considering doing things like that. And does that mean it's a full sort of like centralized self-distribution model, or is it kind of a hybrid? Actually, before we talk about what you're most passionate about, I have a follow-up.
Yeah, so it is a hybrid style model, right? They just got into the warehouse probably about 8 months ago at this point. So they're in the process of optimizing the space. Their plan, what they're actively working on right now, is creating more of a service center type of model. Mm-hmm. The organization also has a on-site linen facility at their main hospital. Their main hospital is 1,000 plus beds. So they're going to move that linen facility, their tunnel washers. I really don't like linen, but we get involved in a lot of those projects for some reason.
Yeah.
Their tunnel washers are 30 years old, like everybody else's. So they're going to move that operation to the warehouse.
And that's all in-house for them.
All in-house, potentially revenue generating opportunity.
100%.
So they're in a hybrid model, right? They do some bulk. They still have a main distributor. Right now, their main campus, that big 1,000 plus bed campus, they're distributing for that campus. And then some regional clinic locations. So they have a big clinic, Warren Clinic. So there's hundreds of locations. So they distribute to some of those. And their plan is to expand to some of their other facilities, other hospitals as well. They're in the process of kind of expansion. They're building out one or two of their other facilities. So they will pick those up in the distribution center model over time.
Wow. That is really interesting.
Yeah. And logistics, you know, the logistics play into it. But, you know, they're looking at this not so much as we're going to self-distribute. They're looking at this as a opportunity, again, to regain the space at the facilities themselves and also create an ability to be more strategic in their resiliency approach, right? We know that we're at risk of certain items. We can bulk up on substitutes or functional equivalents. We want to make sure that we're keeping our backup items at the right level. And based off of the organization size, they were in a tight 8,000 square feet, and they're not low unit of measure. So they really were in a tight space. The facility now, I believe, overall is about 100,000 square feet. Now, again,
plenty of room to grow, though.
100%, but also a big portion of that is going to be their linen plant. But, you know, their thoughts are, you know, what else can we move into this space? And I think a lot of organizations that are sophisticated supply chain thinkers are also thinking about that resiliency aspect and how do we create a more resilient operation of what we can control, right? And what we can control
is... Well, and the inventory management will be so much more easy to get a handle on.
It's exciting, and I think a lot of organizations are making some more strategic-driven mindset changes for supply chain. And I think that, to your point of passion, I think that is where my passion lies. In addition to, we have a talent gap in supply chain. You know, our team has been growing on the Nextera side rapidly over the past, really, 3 years. We added 150 people to our team last year.
Wow.
So I've interviewed a lot of people. And there is a talent challenge within both sourcing and contracting and inventory and logistics. So I think that's where my passion lies. How do we create a more dynamic environment for people to come into our industry and help us transform? Organizations have realized, I think, over the past, you know, craziness of the past 5 years, that supply chain is a science. It is not just the people in the basement moving the boxes or the people buying things and purchasing anymore. There is science behind supply chain. People have supply chain degrees, and it's a Bachelor of Science typically, or an MBA in supply chain. And being able to take advantage of technologies, AI, automation, and different tools to be more strategic, that is where I think supply chain is going. And for that to occur, we need an infusion of resource and talent into supply chain.
Well, there's an ROI there, and I think it's been under the time pressures, and sometimes, you know, it could be talent starved in an organization. It was tough to make an ROI or make an ROI on enough things to truly be strategic, and then you had to get the attention, right?
You got it.
And I feel like now we have the attention of the C-suite in a way that maybe we had not had in healthcare prior to the last 4 or 5 years. And so now that they're looking at that, it does provide an opportunity to say, here's the ROI. And as you get more strategic and you start to show those numbers, I feel like innovation could start to become an exponential pace instead of just sort of like, hey, we're going to do this project and then we're going to do this one because this is what I can get approval for in chunks.
Couldn't agree more. You know, I think that what we've seen over the past few years and in the past year more specifically is a lot of organizations kind of taking that step back and saying, wow, we really focused on supply chain over the past 2 years. And now we're in, you know, labor challenge world, financial challenge world. We're still having supply chain challenges. What do we need to do different so when we come out of this, we're better off and we're more sustainable and more resilient through that process? And our project volume from the Nextera side has increased, I think, because of that, right? People are realizing that we just can't keep on doing what we've been doing and getting by. How do we become a more transformational style supply chain department that is as sophisticated as our clinical
operations? This isn't just comparing benchmarks anymore, is what it's not just benchmarks.
Not,
hey, it's just functional. We're going to compare some benchmarks and we're going to just get things tweaked a little bit. This is about things have to change at a real fundamental level. And so it's a completely different type of strategy.
Couldn't agree more. And I think the benchmarks are still useful.
Oh, absolutely.
But how do we take that to the next level, right? Dashboarding, whether it's Tableau or Power BI tools to help monitor and track every aspect of what we're doing within an organization. How are we using our technologies, whether it's the ERPs or inventory bolt-ons or our, you know, contracting modules, our value analysis solutions to take us to the next level, to be more clinically integrated and actually push the needle from a decision-making process versus, again, just the blocking and tackling.
And imagine if we could truly forecast.
Truly forecast. So listen to this. If someone comes up with this idea, I'll take a piece of the pie here. But there is nothing in my mind that's stopping us with AI that exists today from being able to, you know, look at data, because theoretically we know what is used on every single patient. We know the comorbidities of the patient. We know the diagnoses of the patient. What is stopping us from being able to use that data to dynamically adjust par levels or inventory levels within an organization when somebody arrives at the emergency department or a case is scheduled. Because we know that if, you know, somebody with XYZ comorbidity, XYZ diagnosis arrives at the emergency department, it's likely that they're going to have to be admitted to this unit on this floor, and the product that will most likely be used on them is X, Y, and Z. We have all of that data. That, I think, is something that is in the near future of a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the AI is going to help us crunch that data. That's really, it's the power with which we can take that and do something truly actionable with it. And predictive analytics has been around.
You got it.
Predictive analytics has been used in wellness, and we can actually look at we can forecast the costs of healthcare based on preventive medicine and the impact of preventive medicine. I used to run a wellness program, so that's why I'm going there with this. But
it's true.
But it's true. And so why wouldn't the power of predictive analytics, especially with what's happening in AI, not be available to us in the near future?
Couldn't agree more. And I think another layer of that is, you know, back to that resource challenge, right? We're talking about some sophisticated tools and technologies that I think are on the near horizon, but we still have this labor challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we solve that labor challenge so we can get to that next step? There's automation that can be put in place. There's a lot of transactional stuff that occurs within supply chain departments, whether it's, you know, some procurement activities. Obviously, if we're talking about procure to pay processes, a lot of the AP aspects. But then there's also some blocking and tackling as it relates to contract management or data management. There already exists bots and tools that organizations can use. They just need to invest some time and resource into it to get those stood up, to eliminate some transactional activities that we can use those resources in more sophisticated aspects of the business.
Well, and the human resources, if you're able to remove the mundane, they're going to grow as individuals. They're going to feel more valuable to the organization. They're going to have more intrinsic value versus doing things that are rudimentary. Maybe not everybody. Some people do like sort of like a known 100%. Sort of like, you know, job responsibility. This is what's going to happen when I come into work today. But especially when you talk about the talent gap, sometimes that's because we're losing them to other industries.
You got it.
And so if we can find a way to make it more rewarding for those, you know, that are really driven, that it remove the rudimentary and let them focus on strategy and projects and
you got it.
Get the return on their emotional and work investment to see the results of that and the fruits of that labor, I think that really creates a culture shift.
I agree.
In supply chain. Okay, we're going to have some fun now. If you could swap roles with someone else in the healthcare industry for a day, honestly, listening to you talk, I think you're quite happy doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
but
let's say
you want to change
supply
your pace.
Chain. Yeah. I do.
Who would you switch with? Maybe switch with somebody else in the supply chain so you don't go too far from home.
Yeah. So, you know, I travel a lot to our clients across the country. And, you know, my wife always makes fun of me. She, you know, I pretend that I'm a doctor with my daughter. So I think I'd switch with maybe a physician, a surgeon. You know, I sit through and watch cases fairly often as part of, you know, inventory control and the process redesign in perioperative and procedural areas. You know, I think I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I missed the 8 years of education, but sure, put me
in
their
shoes. If you switch places, I think inherently we could say you have the skill set to do the job.
Perfect.
And I think that's a great answer. I think it would be a lot of fun to know like what it is like and what's going on inside of a physician's head in the middle of a procedure, right?
Yeah.
And just the weight of that as you, and what an asset it would be for you to have that insight.
Yep.
From the supply chain perspective, when you're trying to engage these stakeholders that are using the products every day.
You got
day.
It. We have like 35, 40 clinicians on our team and a few physicians as well. You know, I'd like to get their perspective as well from doing it myself. But, you know, I'm not going back to school for 8 years, so that will never happen.
All right, last one. Do you have any hidden talents?
You know, so I thought about this one a little, and I really can't think of a talent, a hidden talent. But I will tell you this. I mentioned earlier, I do travel a lot. I've become truly excellent at gaming the system of Delta and Bonvoy Marriott to get my points. I wouldn't call it a hidden talent, but it is a, you know, maybe a side passion. in the process.
It's a perk that you could take to your family right? Yeah,
a perk that is, you know, fairly upsetting since I travel so much. But like, yeah, it's become a little side passion over here with a few people on our team that travel just as much as me.
All right, Kenny, this was a lot of fun. Yes. I really enjoyed our discussion. I know it's pretty quick hitting. Good luck on your presentation tomorrow morning. This is the ARM 24 podcast. We've been recording live all week throughout the conference here in Columbus, Ohio. Kenny Scher, Vice President of End-to-End Supply Chain at Nexera, with me today. Great job, Kenny. And thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the ARM Subject Matter Expert Podcast. For additional resources, visit our website at arm.org. That's ARMM.org. Tune in next month for another edition of the ARM Subject Matter Expert Podcast.